Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, you're locked in with the Scuttlebucks, Jeff Cameron, and Tom Lang. Tampa Bay Buccaneer Talk starts now. Here's ESPN Tallahassee's Jeff Cameron.
All right, welcome into the Scuttlebucks. Good to be with you. Kinda. I kid. I love doing this show, and so does my cohort, Tom Lang, over there. It's just a lot easier to do the Scuttlebucks and any other show, for that matter, that discusses the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when they win games and have a chance to win games and are moving towards the playoffs and not the basement. And right now they're moving towards, and they reside, in the NFC South basement, and things don't look to be getting better this week. It's the Saints who have won five straight. The Bucs would need to do something similar to rekindle the magic, and they've got an injured quarterback who's trying to rough it out. They got a team that seems to be maybe at odds with their coaching staff, head coach, somebody. There's a disconnect for sure. You've got enough people mouthing off and complaining in the midst of a losing streak. That all adds up to just an absolutely distressing time for Buccaneers fans, as there were such high hopes coming into this season, Tom, that this year would be really the continuation of what we've seen, which is an organization that was upwardly mobile since drafting Jameis Winston. Of course, you remember at the end of the Lovie Smith era, they get rid of him. Jameis comes in, first of all, they're able to get him first pick in the draft. Get your franchise quarterback. You go from 2 wins to 6 wins right away. You make a coaching change. Lovie's antiquated defense, not getting things done. You elevate the head coach that we have here now in Dirk Koetter. And the Bucs have a winning season and go 9-7. And you think, okay, so from 2-14 to 6-10 to 9-7. And now we're going out in the offseason and we're getting some weapons for our franchise quarterback. We're drafting one in O.J. Howard. You need an athletic tight end to go with the possession receiving tight end that we have. Somebody on the other side of Mike Evans that can stretch the field and not allow for him to be double teamed all the time, maybe get a little bit of help offensively to go with what we think is an emerging and maturing defense with great selections on that side of the ball too, in particular over the last few years with Quan Alexander and prior to that Levante David, etc. All of these guys, and then this season, and here we sit fairly hopeless
indeed, but in an odd way, in that there are certain weeks where the defense gives you hope, and there are certain weeks where the offense gives you hope. They're just not the same week.
Ever.
No. Week one, they were. With the Bears, that's good complimentary football there. Little did we know, through 7 games, that would be the only time you really saw it. Because if that offensive performance from a couple of weeks ago finds its way into, a Thursday night game against New England, mm-hmm. or a Sunday afternoon game with Carolina, well, we're talking about a team that's still in the thick of things, a team that even if it was at 3-4, it's doable. It's certainly doable if you get that win over the weekend against Carolina, because the NFC South looks like, I don't want to say it's open for business, because the lowly Saints came back from the dead, and here they are now. They've been beatified and then some, canonized. But, it would have been a place where you'd say, okay, listen, I don't like that we're 3-4 here, but we're 1-0 in the division, and here we go. The defense turns in an effort that gives you a chance to do it. The offense simply can't answer the bell. But the hat's been on the other head. The shoe's been on the other foot the last couple of weeks, and that's what bad teams do. The great teams, the consistent organizations, they find a way each week. You say, well, we held them down to 300 total yards. Yeah, but their defense showed up this week. That sucks. That's how teams go 10-6, 11-5. It's just not happening here.
Well, and what's so difficult, and we find this situation sometimes in sport, and it's the hardest one to be in. I'd rather fight right up to the end, find your team in a position to maybe pull something out on the last day of the year or the penultimate week of the year. So you go for the ride, you go on the journey, and you go through the emotions, the ups and downs of it all together, and you're invested, and there's something to talk about and something to play for and something to analyze. But when you go 2-5 and you got 9 games to play and your playoff hopes are all but dashed, it is awfully tough to ride the train of loserdom and mediocrity for another 9 games. And I'm going to be very interested to see if this coaching staff can get these guys to be professional. And what I mean by that is I'm not talking about behavior off the field that's not professional or anything. No, I'm talking about you do your job. You're paid handsomely. You come to work. You work hard. You try to get things right. You go out and play your damnedest, your best every week because that's what you are as a professional, and that's what it means to have a work ethic. But this is a game that involves so much emotion that it's sometimes hard to do that. You know, the guy that's working at an office that he hates and he doesn't feel like he's appreciated and he thinks there's something more for him out there goes about his work professionally every day as he looks for other jobs, as he maybe sends out his resume or interviews or does whatever he does. But he's going to show up and do what he's supposed to do because he's got a good work ethic and he's professional. He doesn't want to affect the workplace in a negative way. In this situation where emotions are involved so frequently and it's a game of passion and you lose that passion, it is admittedly more difficult, no matter how much you're paid, to come to work every day and put in the time because the toll it takes on your body and the mental wear and tear of working so hard physically. I'm not saying cry me a river, boo-hoo. I feel bad for players who, you know, I get it. Most people out there are like, Jeff, I'm working on a roof right about now. And, you know, I don't get to take home a multi-million dollar paycheck and live in my mansion as I go through a tough year. No, I got you. But people are people. They're human beings. And when it's taken out of you, no matter what walk of life you're in or how much your salary is, it gets very difficult to bring it all to the table every day, especially if you don't believe in leadership, which I'm starting to wonder whether or not these guys believe in this staff.
No, I don't think they do. You know, if you go back to the beginning, we were on this a couple weeks ago talking about practice habits. It sounds like this team doesn't have good preparation habits. And that's the thing here. We've taken turns blaming the defense, blaming the offense, blaming the quarterback, blaming the defensive coordinator, blaming
head coach,
wherever you want to go.
I kind of blame him most every week, but yes.
Well, sure. Yeah, but it's his job to run the whole ship every single week. No pun intended.
It's not going well right now, no.
But we're arriving to a place, and I don't think we're there quite yet, because if you win this weekend, there is a ray of hope, because then you're 3-5, and then you're playing the Jets and the Dolphins.
Just a glimmer.
It's a glimmer.
Just a glimmer.
But it could be a ray, too. Could be a glimmer and a ray.
Could be light at the end of the tunnel, Tom.
Maybe. You have at least vulnerable
distant
teams.
Star.
The next two
guiding
weeks
your way.
In the Jets and the Dolphins.
I guess. Jets are playing well right now.
I know. Listen, they're playing harder than we are consistently.
Every week. They're in the game every week.
I hear you. I'm not in denial here. All I'm saying is you can really put, a thick line between what we're talking about, whether it be micromanaging week-to-week stuff or, all right, big picture about the organization stuff after this week. Because then you're 0-2 in the division. You're 2-6 overall. You are dead and buried. However, you still have a little bit of a chance this week. So I think next week's Scuttlebucks edition, if we do, in fact, lose the game, go on the road, and the Red Hot Saints do what it looks like they're going to do to us, then we need to talk about coaches, direction, draft. I mean, you name it. All of that stuff is on deck.
I'll give you a little preview. Give you a little preview now. Before we even
that
lose.
Tells me what you think about this weekend.
I'm gonna give you a little preview before we even lose the game to the Saints, which I think we most assuredly are going to do. Let's have fun. Let's play a little game together. For those of you listening in the car on your way to work, or maybe on your way home, those of you listening on your computer at the house, maybe on your headphones when going on a jog,
listening on that 1.5 speed. Let's slow it down, people.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, no. Listen, you hang in there. Let's go. Let's just talk.
Just because Tampa's littered with cocaine doesn't mean we have to sound like we're on it. You know.
And since we're from there, we can make fun of our own city. That's all right.
That's
now,
correct.
Here's the deal. Here's what I'll say. Let's play that game. Of as they're currently constructed and the effort that they give, their record, you are what you are at this point of the season, right? All that stuff. Name the teams that are worse than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, even with all of this talent. So you ready? Let's do this together, shall we, everybody?
Oh boy.
San Francisco's worse.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to tell you Arizona is, but they beat the hell out of the Bucs, so I'm not going to tell you that.
That's correct.
Okay. So Rams and Seahawks are a lot better. So only San Francisco and the NFC West. In the NFC South, every team is better than the Bucs. So that's now four. Okay. In the NFC North, all but the Bears are better than the Bucs. And that includes the Packers without.
We'll play them head to head.
Okay. I'm going to say right now that the Packers are better. The Vikings are better. Well, we know the Vikings are better. They beat the bejesus out of the Bucs.
I'll go with 2-2 there. 2-2 split.
The Bears are not better than the Bucs.
Correct.
The Lions are. So every team in that division but the Bears.
I'll put the Packers without Aaron Rodgers.
I don't know, buddy. I don't know. All right. Philadelphia's a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas is a lot better. Washington is better.
We beat the Giants.
We did beat the Giants. So the Giants are not better. So far, the 49ers are not better than the Bucs. The Bears are not better than the Bucs, and the Giants are not better than the Bucs. And you think maybe the Packers, but I'm sticking with these three right now, right?
Okay.
All right. AFC West, every team is better than the Bucs. Chiefs, Broncos, Chargers, Raiders.
Even the Raiders.
Yeah.
Raiders having a rough-ass year now.
Yep, better than the Bucs.
You know, did you see what they did, what that offense did in Buffalo?
Mm-hmm.
Not nearly as much as Jameis Winston and the offense did.
No, but they're better than the Bucs. They would beat the Bucs right now. I'm not so certain. Okay.
Okay, does our quarterback have an arm or not?
Well, he's hurt. He's clearly hurt. So
every team in the NFL could be better than the Bucs if it's Jameis the way he looked this past weekend. Every team could beat the Bucs.
No, Cleveland could not, and the Colts couldn't.
Yes, they could.
Oh, I don't think so.
If you have a good arm as his left arm?
Well, any team in the NFL can beat any team. That's true. But I don't think that, by and large, they are.
All right. If he has a lame arm and you're rolling him out there every week, you can lose to anybody.
All right, so my sources tell me that he is hurt and he can play through it. I'm just going to get to the nitty-gritty here, okay, folks? And it's a good source. So he's hurt. He's playing through it. He's going to always want to play. Now, I know that from covering him. You know that from covering him at Florida State University. I watched that guy play with a high ankle sprain that after they told him he was going to miss 3 weeks. Now, that doesn't make him a hero. It just makes him tough. And a lot of people in the NFL are tough. And that's why the player can't make that decision. Because the player, if he's got heart, Jameis does. If he's got a want to and a leadership quality to him, and he cares about his teammates, check, check, check. All of those are true for Jameis. They're all going to want to play. The problem is he's compromised. Can't make certain throws currently. He's got bad swelling on the shoulder. He can play through it. I don't know if there's going to be long-term damage. They're going to try to get second opinions. They're going to look at a lot of different things here. If he needs surgery, I'll just say this. As of right now, they don't know that. If he needs surgery, we should shut this down in Tampa Bay. You're talking about your franchise quarterback in a lost season. Don't keep rolling him out there. Anyhow, we'll talk about this later in the show. The point is, he's 60% of what he normally is.
Yeah.
He's just trying to slug through it. So let's look at it that way, okay?
Well, source or no source, you can see the way he's gearing up to throw the ball down the field last week.
Well, and he has no touch right now on intermediate passes.
Correct.
He can make a couple of throws pretty well, short, 15 yards and in. He can make those throws. He made a couple of throws last week, even with a bad arm, that I thought, wow, willing it to happen. That's amazing.
The shoulder is clearly much worse than it was in Buffalo.
No,
and it's not just because of results. It's about zip on the football.
Well, he's reacting
all the throws.
You risk, to varying degrees, re-injuring the shoulder every week you go out there as the injury currently sits. So if he gets banged in a certain game, gets hit on a follow-through, which, by the way, he did in this game, where if he's got the arm back and he's trying to come forward,
yeah,
and you prohibit that, then you do more damage typically, or you can create a strain further.
And does that exonerate him for the pick where Kuechly is running the route for break?
No, but when you're
talking about the deep ball to Jackson that's open and interfered with, but it's open, and then the deep ball to Evans, the play before he throws the pick to Kuechly. I mean, listen, he already was inconsistent with that throw anyway, but you don't need shoulder problems beyond that.
All right, let's do this. Patriots are better. Bills are better. Dolphins, we'll see. I don't think so. Jets, we'll see. I don't think so. We play both of them back-to-back weeks, so I'll give one and one in those two games.
Well, I think that's fair to project.
Yeah,
it's the NFL, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, and we're not any good.
Yeah.
So, basically, every team but one, two, we think Cincinnati's better than the Bucs.
What is going on with them?
I don't know.
Marvin Lewis has been the head coach since I was in high school.
You think they're better than the Bucs?
No, they're worse of a mess than we are.
All right. Baltimore?
Better.
Okay, so
I think.
So Pittsburgh and Baltimore better. Cincinnati might be. Cleveland's not.
Cleveland's not.
Titans are. Jags are. Texans are.
Colts. The Titans? I mean, they're going to lay 12 points on Cleveland in a given week.
They're better. The Titans are better. The Jags are better. The Texans are better. The Colts are not. Chargers are better, Broncos are better, Chiefs are better. I think the Raiders are better. Man, what are we at? We're at every
team
but
20th to 25th in the league, depending upon you or I, where we go.
we're down, man. There's like three, one, two, three, four teams that are five teams that are definitively worse than the Bucks.
All right, 27th then. There you go. 26-27.
We're 26th or 27th. And we thought this was a playoff team.
Well, it's littered with talent to be a freaking playoff team.
That's what I'm doing. I'm pointing at Dirk. Damn it, man. Back for more on the Scuttlebucks momentarily.
Avast ye scuttlebucks.
All right, all right. Scuttlebucks continues with our friend Lee DeKimber, JoeBucksFan.com, as you know him. Hello, Lee. Good day to you, sir.
Well, good day, but bad times for the Bucks.
Yeah, and now, you know, I don't think any of us really anticipated before this season began that we would be at a place, you know, more than a crossroads, really almost basically a season lost through just seven games. The chances of them pulling themselves out of this are almost slim and none, especially if they don't get a win this weekend against the Saints, which I don't think they will. Once you're at 2-6, you just wonder how hard they're going to play. You wonder if turmoil in the locker room and controversy will swirl around the head coach. Obviously, the negative press that will occur, which happens around every bad team. You got a quarterback playing hurt. You know, you're in a situation where you can't win. I wonder how the Bucks and Jason Light and Dirk Cutter and Jameis Winston and others on this team are going to handle a pretty dark situation.
Well, it's been dark a couple weeks ago when T.J. Ward and Swaggy Baker starts spouting off.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what we know publicly is discontent. That's what we know publicly. What we don't know is behind closed doors how much of that's going on. Gerald McCoy, you can read between the lines. Obviously, Martin Fenley, the Tampa Bay Times, talked to Stapp, and Stapp is very tight with Gerald McCoy, and Stapp went off on the coaching, went completely bananas on the coaching, and he said Gerald's frustrated beyond words. I know Gerald was asked, Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times asked him on record, you know, what do you think about playing a three-man front? And the body language and reading between the lines, he's one hacked-off customer. See, I'm almost starting to wonder if the team, at least, you know, I started to wonder, have they lost the team, the coaches, Dirk Cutter, Mike Smith? And then, you know, when everybody and their brother expected the defense to get lit up like a Christmas tree last Sunday with Brent Grimes being out, Hargraves was struggling, he's back in the lineup, Ryan Smith, who got torched against Minnesota, he was starting. Everybody thought that, you know, they're going to give up 40 points. They played darn good. They played darn good. And I almost wonder if it's false hope. But, so, you know, I was starting to jump on the bandwagon that they lost the team, that the defense has tuned out the coaches, and then look what happened. And it was just the opposite. When the Bucks are coming off, arguably, their most impressive offensive game, even in a loss, their most impressive offensive game in a long time, it was the flip of the coin. The offense was like someone was still hitting a snooze bar, and the defense showed up and played lights out. Given their standard this year, they played lights out. So I don't know what to make of this team. I really don't. But I just get a vibe that there's something wrong in this locker room. I don't know if it's chemistry. I don't know if they brought in guys from the outside who disrupted things. There's just something off about this team, and really, frankly, has been since training camp, when Dirk Cutter was grousing almost daily about bad practices. That should have been the signal right there. So I don't know what's going on with this team, but, you know, you got a quarterback who, you know, is playing with a bum wing. You almost wonder if they should shut down Jameis. That's, frankly, the smart thing to do. And coaches and players won't want to hear this, but you know what? Right now they got a top five pick in the draft. I hate to say it, but with all that talent, that's bad.
It's hard to accept that with this many games left to play, and you had high expectations. So now you're wrestling with those expectations and a lost season, and more. Let's hurry up and wait. You know, we were moving in the right direction. The Bucks in the draft have had quite a bit of success. You give Jason Light credit for that. Some misses, but he's, you know, all GMs have that. But he's had some big time hits. You get a franchise quarterback who starts to break rookie records, and for his age, is throwing touchdowns akin to Dan Marino, et cetera, and you're moving in the right direction. You know, you go 6-10, then you go 9-7, And then this year happens, and it's a profound disappointment, and it's hard to get your head around that. And now, you know, you don't have to be Inspector Clouseau here to figure this all out. My friend, like you said, I mean, here's the deal. You've got players griping about coaching. You've got body language telling you an awful lot on many of these interviews, at least the ones that are before a camera. Mm-hmm. You've got behind-the-scenes stuff that I know you hear and I hear that we're not necessarily comfortable going forward with, but whether it's the extent of the injury or the anger at the coaching staff or any of these things, we all hear these whispers, and even if they're all not true, some of them you know are. And mm-hmm. so you add all that up, and you really do wonder. You got turmoil, and you got to wonder whether or not this coaching staff survives. And I'm sure they're wondering that too, which is one of the reasons why he would maybe try to stick with Jameis even with that injury. It was clear last week that the combination of the injury and the wind wreaked havoc on his ability on any touch throw or any throw that he had to get the ball down the field. I don't know what you do here. I'd shut him down for starters. And then if I'm Dirk, I have to hope that I'm not judged on the remaining 9 games because I have to play my backup and not my franchise.
Well, the thing about Dirk is, and what could save him, it could save everybody. My partner, JoeBucksFan.com, Steve Isbett, has mentioned this a couple times. You know, let's be honest, playoffs are a pipe dream. However, if somehow the Bucks can rally and finish 500, that looks good for everybody. That looks good. You know, that demonstrates, hey, we haven't lost a team. Hey, we're on the right plan. We're on the right path. Even though we started out terrible, even though we don't have a running game, do you want me to get to that? I'll get that in a second. Even though our quarterback is injured, if they can get the 500, you know, the Glazers are really big on what, you know, arrow pointing up or arrow pointing down. If they rally to finish 500 to finish the season, that's arrow pointing up. And the Glazers are really big at that. They've used that phrase before, arrow pointing up, arrow pointing down. And, you know, if you start out 2-5, you finish 8-8, arrow's pointing up.
Well, they're going to lose this week and it'd be 2-6. So good luck getting to 8-8. Because I think we're going to end up talking about arrow pointing down, period. I don't know.
Well, you know what? Arrow pointing down, I'm going to get this off my chest here, and this will hack off a lot of people. I'm about done with Doug Martin. I wrote a story this on Wednesday morning on JoeBucksFan.com. Doug Martin has a, you know, the barometer for a decent game for a running back is a 100-yard game. He hasn't had one, take it back, he's had one 100-yard game in 2 calendar years. Since November 1st, 2015, Doug Martin has broke the 100-yard plateau in a game once, and it was big time. He ran for 200 yards plus against the Eagles in 2015. Now think about this. A guy that's supposedly supposed to be a top-shelf running back, a Pro Bowl running back, people love Doug Martin, he's only run for 100 yards once in 2 years. Jaquizz Rodgers has 2 more than that, or he's got double that. He's got 2. And, you know, Jameis, the famous phrase Jameis had at the end of his rookie season when he pounded on the lectern and said, as soon as people start caring more about winning than the coaches, we'll have something. You know what? People crucified Gerald McCoy for being the leader of a losing team for years and years and years. Okay, I sort of understand that. I think it's misguided, but I sort of understand that critique. But guess what? The Bucs have had winning seasons twice in McCoy's career with the Bucs. The Bucs have never had a winning season with Doug Martin except for 1 year. That was last year, and he was not only ineffective, he was suspended for drug use. So give me a break. You know, when is the spotlight going to go on Doug Martin? That maybe Martin's one of the issues. I'm really down on Doug Martin right now. And I saw a statistic on ESPN where they had the top 15 running backs who yards after contact. Doug Martin was not among them. And people always bellyache about the Bucs' offensive line. I'm not saying they're the 1970s Raiders, but you know what? Seattle's got a worse offensive line. They get production from their running backs. Denver's got a worse offensive line. They get production from C.J. Anderson. So I'm wondering why everybody's given Doug Martin such a pass. I think that's one of the problems with this team. And that the culture issue, which Jameis talked about 2 years ago, that may be still there. That may still be there. But I'm not really, you know, if everybody crucifies Joe McCoy and they give Doug Martin a pass, come on.
Well, I don't know why you would call out Gerald McCoy. I hear fans do that, and I cringe. He's an elite player. Well, it's just dumb. I mean, he's an elite player, but football is the ultimate team game. And I'll even say this about Doug Martin, whom I said the Bucs should not re-sign, and there's no reason to have him around. I don't think he's an elite running back. I think he's above average, but I don't think he's great. I you know, and besides, with running backs and wear and tear, I'm always ready to move on. Tom and I.
Yeah, he's got, 1,100 carries in his career already?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always siding on move on. You can find other running backs. But here's what I'll say. I think that, you know, okay, the Bucs are more than just a running back away at this point. And I think what you cited originally, though, is the culture problems that appear to be going on here are the much bigger issue. They don't play with a level of consistency that would reflect a team that's on the same page and led well. And so I don't know, you know, you go back to where you were referencing the inconsistency in practice. I think it starts there. I think we start going back to these conversations where the head coach is telling you what you need to know, which is that he's having a hard time connecting with his players because he can't get them to do things that are frankly just professional, which is show up, practice hard, prepare like a professional, and go out there and play football. You got days off. You got guys treating games allegedly, quote unquote, like vacations. This is this starts with the head coach. And you know, I mean, listen, it may not be that it's simply on him, but he is the head coach. And that's where the buck stops. And that's the end of it. And people aren't interested in the whys and hows of why a team doesn't play hard. It's just that they see them when they don't. And at the end of the day, it's up to the head coach to ensure that doesn't happen. And so, you know, we're dealing with something similar up here in Tallahassee as we cover this Florida State team. There's too much talent to watch a team like that go out there and go through the motions. And that's on the head coach. Now, there may be a million reasons why we got to that place or how that happens that don't involve him. But ultimately, he's the guy paid millions of dollars to ensure it doesn't happen. And so, and that's where Dirk's at. So, you know,
the parallels are stunning, aren't they?
Yeah. And so, what are you going to do? You're 2-5, probably. I know we've played the Saints well, even especially on the road in the last few years. But I don't see the Bucs going in there with an injured quarterback and a beaten up morale and beating a New Orleans team that's rattled off 5 straight wins and is feeling it now and feels like they've got a chance to make one last run with their Hall of Fame quarterback. I don't see that happening. Once you go to 2-6, what happens week to week? What are they going to play for? What, other than their pride and professionalism, which we're saying they don't even utilize now? So I don't know. I don't know. You're looking at 5-11, maybe. And
it has a 5-11 ring. It really does. It has that feel.
Yeah, right. The wins you're going to get are other teams who are going through what you're going through, who also just on that particular day don't feel like trying very hard.
For example, the Packers, possibly. When they play the Packers,
possibly.
They're probably going to be out of the
playoffs. Yeah, possibly. I mean, you may get it against teams like the Jets, who are actually playing pretty inspired football right now, by the way. Their coach has them playing hard. They're not any good, but they're playing hard. You know, I mean, that's better than what you can say for us right now. Well,
exactly. They're going through the motions. It's like, you know, the Swaggy Bakers of the world, you know, 2 hours after a brutal loss against the Panthers, he's posting videos of his cooking show on Twitter. You know, I don't think he gives a damn if they win or not. He's happy. He's collecting a check. And he won't be here next year. I'll lay money he's not here next year. T.J. Ward, gone. He's on a one-year contract. He's not going to be around. And it's pretty obvious by now. Through 7 games, there's a reason why the Broncos cut T.J. Ward. There's a reason why he's a rotational player.
Well, it's all very frustrating. And right now we can take turns and we can blame individuals. But I think the key here is to look right at the top and look at Dirk Koetter and others in this organization who are in control of decisions that are made and obviously have the power to do something about it. And, you know, it's a long road when you got this many games to play and you're 2-5. Good talking to you, Lee. Be well, buddy.
Hey, same here, Jeff. Have a good one.
All right, you too. So that doesn't end on a happy note. And, you know, I mean, again, Tom, I think every week we can vent frustrations about an individual player. I have about Doug Martin, not to the extent that Lee just did. But, you know, I have about any number of players on this team, and some of which sometimes I accuse of not playing very hard. Others just aren't good enough. Others, you know, maybe not a good fit, whatever it might be. This isn't working, and they're in for a horrific crash here, especially if they keep rolling out an injured Jameis here. The Bucs should shut him down, in my opinion.
Yeah, I hear where you're going there. With Doug, I don't get that yet. Look at the defenses Doug Martin's faced so far. And that offensive line ain't exactly something to write home about in the run game. We thought they would get better with J.R. Sweezy there in the starting five and Marpet moving to center. They've been spotty at best. But if you look at what Arizona, Buffalo, and Carolina have done against the run, I mean, Doug went for 18 for 71 last week. I mean, it's around 4 yards to carry.
No, I don't think he's the problem. I'll say he's not the problem. He's better than Jaquizz Rodgers. But they're not good at the running back position.
Well, he's a problem in pass pro, and he doesn't catch the ball really well. So, you know, he is what he is. When he's out there on first and second down, you need to run the football more with him. Then maybe you can generate some play action looks, but he's not going to be in there for all three downs. He's not that type of player. But, I mean, I'm going to hold out on what Doug Martin is in 2017 because we know his career is feast or famine. Mm-hmm. Let's just see what this offensive line and running game looks like against a little bit more mediocre, you know, rush defenses. Well, then looking at the Bills where he rushed for 49 yards and he had 50 yards after first contact. What the hell more do you want him to do in that situation?
Yeah, in that game,
he's a bright spot against the Patriots. That's his first game. So he's played four games. The Arizona game where the entire team quit. All right. Then he played against the Bills where he had 50 yards after contact, 49 yards total, 18 for 71 last week against the Panthers. And then the first one was the Patriots game where we thought they should have toted him more often.
They should have given him the ball
nearly
more
6 yards a carry. So he's not the problem. Not yet.
Well, no, he's not the reason. He's not a solution either. So, I mean, the Bucs, man, we're going to end up talking more and more about less about a player. Like, it's not Gerald McCoy's fault. Like, anybody putting blame on Gerald McCoy is crazy. It's not Gerald McCoy's fault. It's not Jameis Winston's fault. It's not Doug Martin's fault, per se. We're at a place now where we know some of these guys, in particular those three, are capable of being plus players at the bare minimum every Sunday.
Well, McCoy's gone a whole career without a 10-sack guy on the defensive line.
Yeah, he didn't get help.
I mean, think about that.
No, I know.
That's freaking crazy.
He's not getting any help. And, you know, what I hate is this was the year where Jameis got help, and he's had a couple good games, but now he's hurt. Now he's hurt, and you're going to see wild inconsistency at best. I think any game where they're playing and the conditions are poor, he's screwed because he's already got an injured wing, and he's having to put everything through his body to get anything on the ball, and he's lost touch. So this is, you know, I don't know. The word is, the rumor is that if he shut it down now, the swelling may go away in his shoulder by March. Now, they're not sure whether he needs surgery or not. It's either rest, lengthy rest, or surgery, and they're trying to figure that out. If there's any chance he needs surgery, what are we doing here? You stop now so that you get back in time for OTAs. That's the end of it. This season's a wash.
Well, I agree. If you go 3-5, though, if you win this weekend, you might roll the dice a little bit longer. But if you're 2-6, well, I 100% agree. Next week?
Yeah, well, Lee just said he's going to practice today. And the player is always going to say, I want to play.
It'll be indoors this weekend.
We both covered him. We know he's always going to say, I want to play. He got a broken leg. He's going to say, I want to play. So, fine. He's always going to tell you he's fine.
Dude put his pads on when he was suspended for a full game for pregame warmups.
He's always going to tell you, I have to play. I want to play. That's who he is. Great. Lots of guys like that in the league. Not saying he's the only one. But you especially want your quarterback to be that way. So, that's admirable. But it's not always the wisest decision. And that's where the coaches, GM, owner, people who are making the business decisions and the long-term decisions for a franchise have to be, and the medical decisions, the doctors, have to be willing to step in and go, just because you can play, just because you have a high threshold for pain, just because you want to play, doesn't mean we're going to let you play. It doesn't make any sense right now. If in fact, he needs surgery. Now, I understand what you're saying. If you get to 3-5, you're still breathing. You may be face down in the muck, but somebody gave you a straw. You're just breathing out the side there. You may have a shot. Okay. Well, if he's practicing today, which apparently he is, and he says he wants to give it a go, what's one more week? If they go out there and they win that game, you're right. You're on life support. You ride that pony until you're pretty much out of it. You lose this week to New Orleans, and the next game's at home against the Jets at Raymond James.
I don't think you're 2-6. You're not winning 8 in a row. to win the division.
Well, you're not. I was saying wild card or something. I mean, you're not going to win the division at this point. Although this division,
to me, I feel like the division is the easier path. If you win this weekend, you're 1-1 in division play.
Well, and you would get them down to 5-3,
and you've got to go on, you know, a crazy run. Either way, you have to go on a crazy run. But let me footnote the thing about Doug Martin very, very quickly. I'm not saying bring him back next year.
No,
I'm saying
no.
This is a year to take advantage of a fresh Doug Martin. And let's not like pack it in on 22 just yet, because I think if this offense and Jameis still continues to play, let's say they win this weekend, whatever, as they face mediocre rush defenses rather than top 5, top 10 rush defenses every damn week, you might see a little bit more balance in the numbers.
Yeah, I'm going to need him to be better than 3.6 or 3.8, whatever it is right now. I'm going to need him to be a little bit better. And he can be, I think. He's missed some things here and there, but he hasn't been the reason. No, I agree with you. He's not the reason that the Bucs are losing football games. Everybody's taking turns on that one, by the way. I mean, literally, I can go back game by game and have a different guy where I go, well, this guy played well after playing poorly the week before, but he was let down by these two individuals. And then the next week, you could say, well, that guy who played well last week played poor this week. Jameis, for example, was incredible against Buffalo, and he was bad last week. And you know, okay.
Well, yeah, give the offensive effort against Buffalo, against New England, and or last week, and those are wins.
You win those
How about
games?
The defensive effort of last week, and you're in a dogfight with Arizona on the road, you know? It's amazing.
They're taking turns with levels of quit or poor play. I mean, while I'm at it, I got to give a hell of a lot of credit to a guy that I've completely written off but has been very good the last 2 weeks. I mean, Vernon Hargraves, you get a kudos after being the worst corner in the NFL this year for all of the games save for the last two. You've looked like not only a much better player, but you've looked like a very good player each of the last 2 weeks. So if I'm going to rip you when you're terrible, I'm going to note you when you play well and not ignore that. So, good. I hope he got his confidence back. I was really sad to think that we completely whiffed and wasted a first-round draft pick. If you become an average corner in this league and start for a long time, I'll live with that.
Well, yeah, he's close to the line of scrimmage, too, on Funchess, who's a much bigger body this past week. And this one's the more impressive performance.
The other one, yeah.
He's in decent position in the slot, but he's only on the field for 56% of the snaps. A couple of them might be bad throws.
Well, one's a bad throw. Another, he gets away with defensive holding and then celebrates as if he was in coverage.
But this one was lockdown.
No, he played really well.
Maybe Funchess sucks. I don't know.
Well, Carolina better hope not, since they just put all their eggs in that basket and traded Kelvin Benjamin. Because Funchess is a big receiver like Benjamin, they didn't need two, so they let Kelvin go because he's slower, which he is. Funchess better damn well not suck, but I'm not worried about Carolina. All right, Scuttlebucks comes back. Wrap it up momentarily.
Sieging the Bay, one topic at a time. The Scuttlebucks return now on JoeBucksFan.com.
Scuttlebucks presented by Fan Retreat, FanRetreat.com, a great Florida company. And FanRetreat.com is one-stop shop. That's where you can purchase event tickets and travel. You can use FanRetreat.com to buy Bucks tickets or your college team or whatever it might be. You do that, get your airline tickets there, book a hotel room there, all that good stuff. It's like SeatGeek and Expedia combined into one great travel and tickets website. Lowest prices, darn near guaranteed. You can check FanRetreat.com compared to, say, SeatGeek, StubHub. You'll find 95% of FanRetreat.com tickets are, in fact, cheaper. And that's because FanRetreat's a local company. They got less overhead. They pass on those savings to you. Use your Joe Bucks Fan discount code at FanRetreat.com.
Over under $21, the average ticket price for Florida State the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
$5. I'll give you $5.
$5 cash.
I'm going to give you $5. $5.
Well, it would only be $4 with your Joe Bucks Fan code.
That's true. Well, we'll be making that trip to go down there to cover the Florida State Florida game because we're professionals. We show up.
Maybe.
Do what we're supposed to do. One of us will be going to that game. I'll tell you that.
No, remember, now media relations down there in Gainesville only allows one seat for a non-flagship radio station.
Folks, the way that this is playing out as you're listening, you're hearing Tom say, Jeff, by all means, have a good time in Gainesville. That's what that's what Tom just said.
Well, what I'm also saying is they're a-holes. So, you know, it's ridiculous. They should be paying people to come sit in their press box.
Track O'Brien. Go see him while I'm down there. Have a good time.
Third and seven.
Third and seven at the Florida 32-yard line. Yeah, it'll be fun. Or not at all.
Well, at any rate, they'll be more reasonable on Fan Retreat. As are the tickets for the largest HBCU Classic, if I can cut in for just a second, this month at Camping World Stadium in Orlando. FanRetreat.com, that's right, selling amazing packages for the true classic experience at the Florida Blue Florida Classic. It includes where you get your tickets to the game, the Battle of the Bands, your hotel, the whole nine. FanRetreat.com, one-stop shop, where you buy your event tickets and travel together for the HBCU Classic, the Florida Classic, this month in Orlando. Be sure to check out JoeBucksFan.com or FanRetreat.com/Florida Classic. My apologies for breaking in with that outstanding read for our sponsor.
That's better said. You think we're going to beat the Saints, don't you?
No,
I could hear it in your voice. There's a tinge of, well, hang on now, Cameron.
That's what's in my voice right now. Well, hang on just a minute.
All right.
It's not.
I like that you have a glimmer of hope where I have none.
Well, that's the NFL.
Well, that's every damn week, but I'm going to go ahead and judge trends here, and I'm going to tell you that the Saints, who have won five straight and look like a playoff team, are playing the Bucs, who continue to lose and look nothing like a playoff team.
Lost 5 of 6.
Yeah. So, two ships passing in the night.
Could be, but wouldn't it be the NFL to look at this game in the third quarter if you were just kind of paying attention, watching it hardcore if you Bucs fans are now, well, listen, I'm going to check in on the game. I'm going to be check in on the game, Charlie, rather than locked in Louie. So, wouldn't it be just like the NFL in the third quarter? To this game being, I don't know, 17-13, the Saints have turned it over a couple of times.
Well, let's hope, Tom. Let's hope that's the case, because I'd like a reason to continue to watch my favorite team, and they're not giving me one right now. And
Scuttlebucks is one.
The weather, well, I'm going to do it regardless. That's a professional requirement. I'd like the emotional, passionate fan in me to have a reason to continue to invest in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, not the cynical media member that has to break it down. I'd like to still be locked in. I don't know that I could ever be the cynical media member. That's just kind of not my cup of tea. But that said, there is way too much talent that if Jameis is able to give it a go and play well, and again, if you're noting that he can't play well because the arm is, the shoulder is the way that it is, you got to pull him. He's your franchise. I can't say that enough. You got to keep him ready to roll into OTAs next year. The thought is if he has surgery, if it's necessary, and we don't know, but I did do some checking again with that source and some others. If he needs surgery, you would shut it down now, and he could be back in time for OTAs, and he could be a full go for next season. And we'd like to think this is a hiccup.
Yeah, roughly a half year or something like that,
that's
right?
That's right, 5 to 7 months. So you would want to shut it down. If there's any chance whatsoever that he needs surgery, the Bucs need to do that now. This is a lost season. They're not winning a damn thing. Go, just do it if he needs it. Now, if he doesn't need it, if all he needs is rest, well, he's going to continue to give it a go and try to play through it.
I'll bet you, though, if they're 2-6, that discussion becomes much more heightened and a choice is probably made before we play our next game.
I would think without question, this is the game. You're right about that. You've insinuated that on the show today. I think you're right that if they win this game, they'll hold out whatever measure of hope they have, marginal as it is, and they'll continue to play hard because they have back-to-back games that could be winnable, and you could get to 5-5 and have an outside shot at the playoffs. I got you. Lose this game, it makes it a lot easier to pull the trigger on any of those sort of fatalistic second halves of the season.
Man, do you know what my number one reason for watching this game is on Sunday? Honestly, it's to see if Hargraves is good. I want to know if he's capable of still being good. These are nice 2 weeks, but here you go against Drew Brees, and he'll find that open guy. You got to stay with guys in coverage as long as you possibly can.
Yes, he's pretty good.
To the point where it gets unfair for a defensive back, and we won't grade that against Vernon. But, okay, in these circumstances, are you good 3 weeks in a row? Because now we have a development. Now when you want to talk about
a stunning development, again, that would be a stunning development for the positive. Probably the lone stunning development we have.
Well, as you're looking at the offseason, which is, really, it's tomorrow. If they lose to the Saints, the offseason's tomorrow. You got to know what you have and what you don't have. And maybe Hargraves is turning it around just in time so we don't have to waste extra money where we have cap casualty concerns with James' contract and Evans' contract coming up. You don't have to waste extra money on a corner. That'd be nice.
You could spend it on a new coach. For Tom Lang, I'm Jeff Cameron. Thanks so much for listening to the Scuttlebucks. We'll talk to you next time.